It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We turn our attention to Wisconsin's congressional delegation with perspective on House Republicans in disarray over electing a new speaker and how to respond to the Israel-Hamas war. Call in with a question, share your views, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Gwen Moore is a Democratic U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 4th District, which includes parts of the Milwaukee metro region. Representative Moore, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
It's so good to be with you. Good morning.
Good morning. The House remains without leadership for more than 2 weeks now. Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio just out of a news conference seeking a third vote. What concerns you most about the House being without an elected leader?
I've been to hearings on the Hill. I've been to shadow hearings on the Hill, and I think that there's some effort to have sort of a fig leaf of an operation in Congress. But it is absolutely exhausting to be running in place. I feel like I'm on some sort of treadmill, wearing myself out and really not getting anywhere. We have a deadline of November 17th looming in front of us with regard to funding the government. People are very, very anxious about funding for Ukraine. We're very concerned about what's happening, of course, in Israel. There's real business to be taken care of. Something more than what people think that we do. It's not just about funding and renaming post offices. Mm-hmm. And so I am, I'm very, very anxious about just running in place and really not taking care of the work of the People's House. The Senate, of course, is functioning, but the funding, all funding bills really come from the House of Representatives. So we've got to get going.
Well, we're going to get to Israel in a moment. We're going to get to a potential government shutdown. But I want to turn our attention back to the speaker's race. Congressman Jordan told reporters he needs to talk with the lawmakers who didn't vote for him on the first ballot. Might there be deals and concessions to secure the gavel?
Well, he's having discussions with the people who didn't vote for him, but what our information, what we're being told, is that the people who didn't vote for him are receiving death threats. In particular, one of my favorite members on the other side that I work closely with, Don Bacon's wife, has been receiving emails and threats with regard to his vote. And if that's his idea of, quote unquote, talking to people, that makes it even more frightening. I just think it's the worst possible choice for a speaker of the House. And of course, the speaker will come from the Republican side. He's proposed a national abortion ban, which is anathema to me and my values. Of course, he was mentioned 44 times in the January 6th. Report. He didn't show up to testify. Even Liz Cheney, of course, who was rejected by the voters after serving on the January 6th committee, said that he caused this. And of course, you had former Speaker Boehner call him a legislative terrorist. And so, once you're the speaker, even though you've been elected by the majority party, you're everybody's speaker. And it's very, very difficult to imagine a speaker whose highest priority is to serve Donald Trump, to upend the House operation, and who got elected for the purpose of being anti-government. It is really... I'm really proud of those Republicans who are rejecting him, even under the threat of death and loss of their seat, the same fate as Liz Cheney, to protect our democracy.
I want to turn to the interim House Speaker, Patrick McHenry, carrying out the work of the chamber until January 3rd while he garners support from colleagues. That's according to the New York Times. Would you support expanding the duties, the powers of the interim House Speaker in the meantime?
Oh, I will tell you that Patrick McHenry is somebody that is respected on both sides of the aisles. I served with him on the Financial Services Committee for the 14 years that I was there. He works now with Maxine Waters, who a lot of Republicans hold contempt and disdain for, but he respects her and treats her respectfully. But of course, that's a deal that can't be sealed unless Republicans go along with that, because, you know, if he were interim speaker, we would want some sort of power sharing. For example, the Rules Committee, which is an essential committee with regard to what bills do or do not make it onto the floor, the rules around whether or not you can amend bills, occurs in the Rules Committee. And it's been just stacked and packed, I think, with some of the most extremists of their MAGA Republicans. And there's an area that, you know, a part of having McHenry as speaker, we would want some concessions, for example, in that realm as well.
Is there any Republican in the House, Representative Moore, that you would support for speaker?
Well, first of all, just let me say this. This is not how this institution works. I mean, I've been stunned by that question. Why didn't you vote for Kevin McCarthy? I'm stunned. My choice for speaker as a Democrat is Hakeem Jeffries, which is why he's gotten 212 votes since the first day of the 118th Congress. The Democrats are not in charge. We get that. We're not going, we don't elect the speaker. It's their job to elect the speaker. That's the way this institution, for better or worse, works. That's number one. Number two, nobody, up to and including Kevin McCarthy, has stepped across the aisle and said to our leader, you know, I need 5 votes. So that I can become the speaker, and here's the kind of power sharing that I'm willing to lean into in order to get those votes. Mm-hmm. And number three, Nancy Pelosi had, I think, exactly the same margin of Democrats. But this is what leadership is about. I mean, we passed the bipartisan infrastructure bill with nobody from Wisconsin, as an example, who voted for it. You know, I even had one of my colleagues call the bipartisan infrastructure bill, you know, the way they want to build socialist roads. You know, nobody voted from the Republican side with the American Rescue Plan that really saved our economy.
Well,
nobody.
I just want to pause right there. Democratic U.S. Representative Gwen Moore of Milwaukee getting reaction to her chamber facing division, facing inaction. You can be part of the conversation. Call in with a question. Share your views. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We hear directly from Wisconsin's congressional delegation on the Hill, Democratic Congresswoman Gwen Moore of Milwaukee from Wisconsin's 4th District, as we discuss the chaos, the infighting in the House as Republicans struggle to back a new speaker, and we look now to Israel. You can call in with a question, share views, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Congresswoman, in Biden's speech from the Oval Office to the nation last night, he called on Congress to pass an aid package to fund wars in Israel and Ukraine. The Biden administration is reportedly drafting a $100 billion aid package that would include aid for Israel and Ukraine. Do you support providing additional federal aid to Israel?
Yes, but I also support providing aid to those people that we expect to provide humanitarian assistance to them. Now, one of the things that's been so puzzling to me is why people don't realize why, Egypt and certainly Jordan is taking in refugees. And these countries are teetering, especially Egypt, is having a lot of internal problems with their economy. So it's puzzling to me why there wouldn't be a call, and we'll see once the House is opened again, some sort of humanitarian assistance for people who might take in some refugees. I do know that, that's a different question with whether or not people would have a right to return. And perhaps that's legislation down the line, the right to return to Gaza once this war, God willing, is over and over soon. But I would support aid right now. I've supported aid to Israel in the past, especially for their defensive measures, the dome. And certainly I've supported aid to Ukraine.
You mentioned there the humanitarian crisis unfolding. President Biden earlier this week announced $100 million in aid to civilians in Gaza and the West Bank. Is $100 million enough to help civilians in Gaza?
I don't know whether it's enough or not. As I look at the photos, and I see the complete, destruction of infrastructure. Clearly, that aid package is just for basics like food and medicine and Pampers and that kind of thing. That's all that $100 million will cover at this point. Mm-hmm. So I guess maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, because I would look at a much more robust package for steadying the people of Gaza and the West Bank in the future.
Let's bring on a call. Carol in Milwaukee now. Carol, hi.
Hello.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Representative Moore. Don't you think it's a contradiction for us to be spending so much money, so very, very much money, on other people's wars and not spending it at home, where we really owe our citizens a decent, basic world also, and more so than other countries where we just seem to be causing more and more problems with the immense amounts of money for weapons, and the wars get worse and last for years and years.
Carol, thanks for calling in. Congresswoman Moore.
Carol makes a very, very important point. Our ability to monetize and provide monies for Ukraine, for example, and to Israel demonstrates that there's no lack of money to do the kinds of things that we really need to do at home. I think it's crazy that when we were in operation here in the House of Representatives, we were considering bills to cut fruits and vegetables from the WIC program, the Women, Infant, and Children's program, that supports babies and lactating moms of young babies under 5 years old. So, it's crazy for us to continue to talk about how we need to diminish monies for Social Security and Medicare. Carol makes an extremely important point that to the extent, you know, one of the things that was so shocking to me, Kate, when I got here, was that there was a defense appropriations bill, which legislators, you know, seem like they don't ever want to take a thin dime away from. And a veterans bill, well, it seems like we have to beg every single time to get benefits for veterans. Most recently, it was Democrats that sort of shamed the Republicans into funding the burned pits legislation for those veterans
we're running short on time here, and we didn't talk about the potential shutdown, but would you be in favor or opposed to an extension of a continuing resolution to fund the government further beyond November 17th?
I was one of the Democrats that supported that initiative. I mean, I think that it's Republicans that don't want a continuing resolution. Jim Jordan, for example, bringing him up again, he's been the sponsor of every single shutdown that we've had since he's been in Congress. And so, of course, that's an easy answer, yes.
You would, yes. And so in terms of those 12 appropriations bills, any priority or movement?
Well, we had a deal. The idea that we're going to finish all 12 appropriations bills by November 17th is sort of absurd, which means that we have to pass a continuing resolution. This was an aspirational thing, and I'll have to admire Republicans for wanting it. But the appropriations bills that they were passing, Kate, to be honest, you know, they had us up 2 o'clock in the morning voting. They were ridiculous. So,
Congresswoman Moore, thank you for joining us. Gwen Moore, Democratic U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 4th District. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.